All right. Welcome to Restoration Fellowship. We're going to very briefly talk through an introduction of a new series that we're doing, which I am very, very excited for. And we're going to be quick on this because I definitely want to leave a lot of time for ministry today. But this is the Intro to Discipleship series, and we're diving into this as we've been praying as leadership. We feel like the Lord has been walking us through. We did the spiritual disciplines, and then we went to the foundations of our faith, and then we've been working through the spiritual gifts and just actually going out there and getting it done. So as we're kicking this off, the heart behind this series is to understand the core of being a disciple, but also making disciples, okay? And in my opinion, and some might disagree, in my opinion, I feel that should be happening at all times. You should always be getting poured into, being discipled, and that at a certain point, you need to be discipling, right? That comes through maturity. But even when you get to the discipling part, that doesn't mean that you get to drop the being discipled. Amen? Okay. So let's read. Let's see here. No, we'll get to that in a second. So what we're going to be going through on your notes, we're going to walk through these different topics this summer, and it's really going to go into fall. But we're going to be talking the walking through the Bible. So we're going to kind of do a Sunday school class, breaking down the Bible. What does it mean? How to be a disciple. We're going to be talking about purity, sonship and fatherhood, organic discipleship, discipleship from your gifting, church versus marketplace discipleship, prayer, how to read your Bible, hermeneutics, which is the study of their Bible. So we're really going to go deep in the Word. And then holiness, relational accountability, and then we're going to end off with the nice fluffy topic of the fear of the Lord, which is exciting. So discipleship is bringing believers into a deeper relationship through watching our lives. That's how Paul describes it. And so what this means, if you're asking yourself the question, am I ready to disciple somebody? The question really is my life worthy of being looked at as I look to Jesus? And we're all imperfect. So I'm not saying that we're not talking about perfection, but we're talking about getting to the place where we're doing the spiritual disciplines weekly, that we're engaging in our lives in good business, in good family life, all of the different aspects, that we're worthy of looking to Jesus and saying, my life is a reflection of Jesus. You're looking to him, but you're watching me as a mirror to look to him. So hopefully become more like him. Does that make sense? Okay. So the call, Matthew 28. So this is the call, the last part of Matthew, of Jesus calling his disciples and giving him what he wants them to do after the ascension of the Lord. Was that cool last week? Did you guys enjoy the Ascension of the Lord series? Yeah? Or the message? I thought it was awesome. All right, so Matthew 28, starting in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so the call of Jesus in this discipleship, which we mentioned a little bit a couple weeks ago in evangelism, but the call is that I have been given, Jesus, I have been given all authority and power, and so I am commissioning you, disciples, which we're going to say Restoration Fellowship, we're just going to insert into our name there. I am commissioning you, Restoration Fellowship, to go throughout the earth and make disciples of all nations. Okay? Thankfully, we live in a nation. We're starting here. Daniel is starting in India, and we get to be brothers and walk through that together. That's what they're doing in India, is making disciples because they don't have the Bible Belt in India, right? They have disciples that really want to go after it. This isn't a cultural experience. And what the Lord is calling the American church into is away from a cultural experience and back to the raw foundation of let's build disciples. Let's make disciples across the earth, which means, and the first thing is that we have to be a disciple of Jesus. And for me in my life, I have not been able to just look at Jesus and become a disciple. I have had to have fathers and mothers in my life that I have looked to and I said, you look a little bit more like Jesus than I do. So I'm going to watch your life and I'm going to ask you questions. I'm going to take you to coffee and I'm going to learn how to read the scripture. And that makes me more like Jesus. Does that make sense? We need each other in this call. So out of the power and authority that we have received from Jesus, we are to encounter the lost. Do not do this by your own strength. That I cannot just pound that enough into this body. Do not do this by your own strength. Because he establishes first, I am giving you all authority and power by sending the Holy Spirit. I am giving you everything that you need. Look to me, be in community, and grow. Jesus set an example for us in the form of a spiritual discipline of what this looks like, of solitude. He escaped away to look at the Father and to be so close that he looked like him. And we see this a little bit, and we're not going to actually go through these scriptures today, but John 14, 7 through 11, and then also in John 17, 20 through 26. But throughout the scriptures, we look and we see Jesus walking through his life, saying that he looked to the Father and as he's making disciples. And then the apostles do the same thing, right? They're encouraging one another. They're discipling one another like iron sharpens iron, right? Sometimes we think of discipleship as this thing of, I need some great man of God to come and to teach me, right? Or you take it from the opposite. I am not such a great man of God, so I cannot teach. But this, if we look at it, at this idea of iron sharpens iron, where we're in a community, and guys, a lot of you disciple me through your lives. As we walk out our lives, you are discipling me. Sometimes it doesn't look super formal, and sometimes it looks very formal. Both are necessary. In 1 Corinthians 10, I'm going to turn there for just a second, I think. Yeah. Chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 23, and then we're going to go into 11, 1. And I'm actually just going to read a couple of, I'm going to read 23 and 24, and then hop back to 33. So in verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one of the other's well-being. Okay, so Paul, to the Corinthians, he's establishing this idea of great. Grace is present, and it covers all matters of sin. But that doesn't mean it's good. That doesn't mean it's helpful. Live a pure life. But then he goes on to say that as we live in a context of community, that we look out for one another's well-being. That's the basis of discipleship. Is that I am looking out for someone else's well-being. Even submission under somebody else in discipleship is looking out. It's edifying them above yourself. Does that make sense? So then Paul talks through this thing. He's talking to the Corinthians, dealing with the Corinthian-type things. But in verse 33, it says, just as I also preached all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So he's setting the foundation in discipleship for this idea that, again, that we look to Jesus, we become like Jesus, and then people look at our lives, and hopefully my life stirs up somebody else. But that's the call of all of our lives, and maturity is such a big part of it. Okay, number two, discipling. So there is not a time where we can pause or take a break from following the way of Jesus, right? When we say, I have laid down the old man and I'm raised up again in Christ, we have committed to a lifelong commitment of being a follower of the way. And so when we are discipling, what we need to ask our questions of is, where is my maturity at? And Hebrews 5, I'm actually going to turn there just for a second. I had it. Yeah, 5:12. We're going to talk about spiritual immaturity. So in Hebrews 5, starting in verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are not who are of full age, that is, those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of the faith toward God, but of the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened to have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. So what he's talking about here is that as we grow in maturity as a body, this doesn't just happen on Sunday morning. Actually, I would venture to say that very little of our maturity happens on Sunday morning. Most of the walk happens through the week. Most of the walk happens in the context of family and friends and in doing the spiritual disciplines. And I've listed those, I believe, on your notes at some point. But these ideas of the spiritual disciplines, we need to walk in these to be grown in maturity so that our lives are worthy because of the blood of Jesus to start disciple and being discipled. But in that discipling, making sure that we have humility. And what I would recommend, guys, is don't go seeking for it. Have your life ready. And we're going to hop into this in a couple of weeks. But if you become someone that is worthy to be looked like, you will have somebody ask you. You don't have to go say, Pastor Daniel, you're not from around here. I would like to disciple you. What? What did he just say? Who am I to say, I want to disciple Daniel? I am nobody, right? But if somebody else comes to me and says, Rory, I've seen the secret places of your life because it's the evident by how you walk out your life. I want something that you have. Would you disciple me? That's how it works. We don't go out and saying, I'm ready. Come and let me disciple you. It's my life becomes worthy in the sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice of the spiritual disciplines to say, I have looked at Jesus. And all of a sudden, people say, you definitely look like Jesus, at least in part. And I want that part. So discipling is that position yourself as a father because fathers attract sons. Position yourself as fathers attract sons. Same thing, I mean, just put yourself in there as mother as well, ladies. It just looks different. But as we become that, it will be drawn to us. Okay? All right, let's go down to one last thing, preparing his bride, and then we're going to end. So what this means, we just talked about it, but well, what this preparing the bride means, because we can choose to be his bride or not, right? That's our choice. He is a gracious father that gives us a choice to choose or not. And I realized recently that the disciples were called to make disciples of nations, but they are continuing to do that through the scriptures. Isn't that crazy? That even now, the call that they had 2,000 years ago is still working itself out. And so this through the scriptures is amazing. And an example of this, and I just want to read this very hard word because I think it's important. Breezy and I were talking about it over the weekend. But let's turn to Jude. I'm going to skip down there to C in your notes. And I'm sorry I'm not following the notes very well. I'm trying to rush because I want to do ministry. Okay. Man, this rocked my world this weekend. So in Jude, there's only one chapter, so 8 through 11, it says, likewise, also these dreamers defile... Oh, actually, no, I'm going to read it in the NLT. I have it actually outlined there in your notes. In the same way, these people who claim authority from their dreams live immoral lives, defy authority, and scoff at supernatural beings. But even Michael, one of the mightiest of angels, did not dare accuse the devil of blasphemy, but simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." This took place when Michael was arguing with the devil about Moses' body. But these people scoff at all things they do not understand, like unthinking animals. They do whatever their instincts tell them, so they bring about their own destruction. What sorrow awaits for them? For they follow the footsteps of Cain, who killed his brother, like Balaam. They deceive people for money, and like Korah, they perish in their rebellion. So what hit me in this is that we see this in the body of Christ. I have probably been a partaker of this, where I gain my authority from a word from the Lord that is not tested by my brothers and sisters. By a dream that I had, I feel like that gives me authority, but what actually does is I say, I feel like the Lord gave me a dream like this. What do you think? Why am I bringing this up in the context of discipleship and preparing his bride? Because this is a massive part of it, is that we need one another. We prophesy in part, and when we receive dreams and visions and words from the Lord, even though we might think, man, that's totally from the Lord, it's we submit that word to brothers and sisters that are trusted around us and say, test this word for me. Am I on? Is this biblical? And our authority comes from one another through Christ. Does that make sense? All power and authority are Jesus's, and he brings it down to us. But if we lone wolf it and we don't submit to one another, we have nothing. We can't disciple. Because I have to be submitted. You have to be submitted. And we're all doing this together. Okay? Okay, I feel like I'm all over the place, but we're gonna land this plane. Our job is to disciple nations. His job is to build the church. Our job is to disciple nations. His job is to build the church. Because as we create disciples that look like Jesus, they're going to step into the fullness of their calling. And our call to you today is to step into your calling, to submit and be submitted to. When we align with Jesus and focus more on building disciples in the church, we will grow naturally because that is his heart. His heart is that this church busts at its seams, that our life groups, that we have to create more life groups every week because we have too many people. Why? Because that means the lost are being saved. That souls saved, bodies healed, and people set free. That's part of who we are as Restoration Fellowship. And this is a big part of that. This is laying your life down. Guys, this is not easy. Being a disciple, hearing hard things, and then saying hard things to people we're discipling is not easy. To taking the time. I think how this looks for men is a little bit more formal. It's getting together. It's maybe meeting for coffee, coming to work. For women, it might be a little bit different. I would say most of the discipleship that I've seen with mothers are in their living room. It's generally not in this formalized, not saying that it's not, but I'm saying it's probably going to be in the natural flow of your life because kids are a thing. All these things are a thing. It's, I don't have time to be discipled. It's like, no, you do because you got to do laundry. Why don't invite a mother over to speak into your life? Or why not be that mother to say, hey, if you're ever folding laundry, I'd love to just come and help. This is what discipleship looks like. For men, it might be, hey, bro, let's go fishing and let's just talk about the Lord. Sometimes it's going for a walk or a cup of coffee or a lunch, but it looks, we have to reformat our life to make time for people, right? Who feels like they have a ton of free time? Oh, man, what? No one? No one has free time. But you will make time for what's important. And this is important. The body of Christ is important. Making disciples is important. I would say it's in the top three of the most important things, following behind the top two commandments. But this is our call in life, because this is Jesus' desire, that he will do everything in his power, everything through his church, to make disciples, because he desires. If you read the book of Revelation and you keep reading, you're like, why does he keep going? Why are these bowls keep pouring out? Why do these scrolls keep getting open and these terrible things happening on the earth? It's because he is going to make as many opportunities as possible for someone to say yes. He will do whatever it takes. And so to capture his heart as lovers of him is to say, I love you, Rory. And I want to know everything about you, and I want you to know me. That's the first thing, right? But then as we capture his heart, we also realize that he has the same heart for the beggar on the street. And he's got the same heart as he does for our kids. He has the same heart as he does for the guy that we really don't like at work. So as we encounter the Father, that's why this is so important. As we start in this maturity thing, as we encounter the Father and see his heart, we capture his heart for those that also need it. If you think you're loved, or maybe you don't feel like you're loved today. Guys, you're loved today. I feel loved by the Father. I feel pursued by the Father and known by the Father. And because I have this deep love inside of me, I'm like, man, I want everyone to have that. But I cannot disciple a whole town, right? You cannot disciple a whole town. I can maybe handle three people at a time, maybe four. To really go deep. But man, let's count this. Okay, boom, boom, boom. We have this body times four. How far can we go? How many people can encounter the love of the Father because of our lives? Does that make sense? Okay. Woo. So our hope in going into this series on discipleship this year is that we are laborers to reap the harvest. The harvest is plentiful. Lord, send the laborers. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for Restoration Fellowship. You've sent the laborers. Now let's build one another up to be the laborers to reap the harvest. But we need to be prepared and discipled. We need to be more like Jesus so that people around us look and see a difference from the old man. Right? I grew up here. People know me from my crazy teenage years. And have seen me walk through. I am judged by all man, right? I'm not escaping any. It's like, tell me. If I'm off, let's talk about it, right? And so as we live our lives, don't run away from community. Don't run away from this church. Be rooted and grounded in this church so that I can watch, or Bob can watch you, right? Or Breezy can watch you grow up and see the transformation of the old man before Jesus and the new man. And I look around and I see how many people in this room. This morning, the Lord just reminded me again of people that I've seen the old man. And then I've seen how the Lord, not Rory or Restoration Fellowship or Justin or Jeremy or another great leader, the Lord in his kindness has transformed from the old to the new. And I just got to be a part. And that's what discipleship is just to be a part of the story, to see the old man die and a new man raise up. And we're all doing it together. We are new creations, but it's a journey and a walk to be made to look more like him. We're going to end with this verse. Mark, if you want to start praying, I guess. Therefore, in Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So I know that was a lot packed in there. You guys have your notes. You have some verses. I really want this discussion to happen in your life group. And if you're not involved in a life group, guys, there is so much in life groups. There are so much gifts that you can't get by just coming to Sunday morning or getting around people you only like. That's what I love about life group. There's like, we don't really have clicky life groups. You see some of our life groups, you're like, man, those people probably wouldn't hang out in day-to-day life, but the Lord is pouring out his spirit on that place. So if you're not involved in a life group, I would highly recommend, right there by Jeremy, there's a QR code, and you can scan to see what our life groups are like. Start coming to them. So let's go ahead and stand up. Ministry team. So what we're going to do, I know we have the loves on ministry team, and we have the gills on ministry team. Yeah. So I'm going to have you guys, so Pagosa peeps on either side, please. And then we're going to have some of the team from Lake City coming up. They're going to be up front. They're also going to be in the back. So if you need ministry for anything, if what happened during worship today, the Lord started pulling on your heart, guys, we're here. Let's pray. Let's encounter. So anything that you need, if you feel like you're in this season of, God, I want to be more like you, come up and get prayer. We'd love to have that. Okay. All right. We good, team? Nice. All right. Like I said, we'll have a few people in the back, and then we'll have a few people up. So I'm going to pray over us. And I know it's past our time, but let's just engage for 5 minutes while people are getting ministered to, and then we'll get out of here. So, Father, we thank you for your goodness and your kindness. God, we thank you that you pour out your spirit and that you encounter us where we are. God, I pray just as we enter into this series on discipleship, Lord, that you would reveal by your kindness where we're at. If we need to mature or if we're ready, and where we need to be discipled, I pray that you'd pour that out in this place to draw us closer in unity. Raise up the fathers and mothers in Jesus' name. Need prayer? Come on up.